a baseball game, a day in a park with friends and family, fishing in a remote stream, work, travels, providing for loved ones, or heading out for adventures. Whatever you do, whatever you enjoy, you need your health. The original Guide to Men's Health is presented by the Washington State Urology Society to help take you through the steps necessary to get the most out of life. If you have invested in a retirement plan for your future, why not invest in your body? After all, it makes better sense to retire healthy and enjoy your future. These podcasts are a guide for how to take care of yourself. If you take care of your car and maintain it, why not do the same for your personal machine, your body? If you know you should but haven't yet, the information in these podcasts contains some easy recommendations for where, when, and how to get started. Follow the podcast as we explore men's health with renowned experts and embark on a journey towards better health. The revolution in living longer. Exercise. It's as simple as that. Today we speak with Dr. Mark DeDomenico and Josh of the Pro Sports Club, Bellevue in Seattle. Welcome to today's episode of the original Guide to Men's Health. Throughout the first season, we will hear or have heard two mainstays of being healthy, diet and exercise. Today, it's my pleasure to interview Dr. Mark DeDomenico and Josh Fitchett here at the Pro Club in Bellevue, Washington. Our topic, exercise. Dr. DeDomenico is the CEO and founder of the Pro Club and the 2020 Lifestyles Program. He is a former cardiovascular surgeon and co-founder of the Hope Heart Institute. He co-authored the book, 2020 Lifestyles, The Metabolic Cure. Josh Fitchett is the Senior Director of Fitness for the Pro Club since 1999. He graduated from Central Washington University in 1995 with a degree in fitness and sports management and oversees training and fitness for the Pro Club. He himself is a triathlete. He's been in adventure racing and continues to motivate the participants of the 2020 Lifestyle Program. Welcome. I think it's good to start with an overview of why is exercise important.
Thank you, Dr. Pellman, for having myself and Dr. DeDomenico here today. Exercise is so important to our health because it has tons of benefits, from improving our mental health to a healthy heart, to slowing the aging process and lengthening the lifespan, boosting our brain health, and many, many other aspects.
So we have a population who are listening in various stages of exercise health. Let's start with a novice who knows exercise is a good thing but hasn't started and wants to. What kind of advice would you give that person?
The most important thing when you're starting exercise is to find out why. And everyone's why is going to be different. For some people, it's going to be weight loss. For some people, it's going to be knowing that they're going to be healthier and that they're going to feel better if they start a regular exercise program. Those things are crucial, because if you don't know your why for why you're starting an exercise program, then your long-term adherence to the program probably won't be there. So that's first and foremost, is figuring out the why. From there, once you understand why you want to be exercising, I want to look better naked, I want to feel better, I want to be healthier. Some people, for medical reasons, they're exercising. Once they find out the why, then they can start to develop a plan and set up goals to be successful with the exercise.
I've found that many people start exercising and then fall off the wagon and stop. Do you have any advice to keep people on the exercise besides knowing why you want to do it? What tends to motivate people?
Yeah, motivation can be different from person to person, but the people who are successful long-term with exercise are the ones that set a plan and can make it part of their lifestyle and then be consistent with it. So finding the time. If you know at the end of your workday that you're going to be stressed and you're planning on having a workout at 6 p.m. to do your exercise, and you're exhausted at the end of the day, you're hungry, you're probably not going to adhere to that 6 p.m. workout. So you have to identify when it's going to be able to work for you, and starting small. So maybe you say, okay, I'm going to go starting my exercise routine two times a week. I'm going to start on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I want it done first thing in the morning so I know that it gets done. That's an easy way to do it, and then building up to adding a third day, building up to adding a fourth day, building up to adding a fifth day. And there's a lot of information out there regarding exercise and being successful with exercise. There's a lot of great resources, personal trainers and exercise physiologists and people that can help people develop a plan. Having a coach or a partner is a great way to be successful, having someone else to help you be accountable with your exercise. Those are things that are key to success. But you have to make it part of your day. And if it's not on your calendar, if it's not a priority, then there's too many things that can come up and interfere, and there's too many excuses why I'm not gonna do it. And then it doesn't become a habit. We don't make it part of our regular lifestyle.
So I have told patients exactly the same. Exercise needs to become habit. You wanna feel about exercising, if you miss it, like you forgot to brush your teeth. And I tell patients that first thing in the morning is more likely to be a successful time for them than planning at lunch or later in the day, because first thing in the morning is your time. Nothing else really gets in the way then. Now, sometimes patients go, well, I don't have an hour. I go, start 10 minutes. Well, what good does that do? It gets you in the habit of getting up, putting on gym shorts, going somewhere and working out or at home, and then you expand it. And it's funny, when people expand slowly to the time needed, they will then realize that the time is there, versus trying to bite off an hour initially. They may say, oh, I just can't do that. Do you have feelings about that kind of advice, or am I right or wrong?
I agree with you 100%. Starting the routine in the morning, what I like to do with the clients and patients that I have the opportunity to work with here is tell them when they wake up, first thing, start your day off with a big glass of water. So they're getting some hydration early in the morning. Take some time to just roll out the feet to wake up the body. A minute on the right foot, a minute on the left foot with a golf ball or lacrosse ball, waking up, and then taking a moment to think about what you're grateful for, who in your life that you're grateful for, or what in your life you're grateful for, and setting the tone. And I love exercise in the morning. Not everyone is able to be a morning exercise person, so whether it's at lunch or after work or sometime in the day, but if you can get it done first thing in the morning, then you know it's gonna get done in short burst, 10, 15, 20 minutes initially is terrific.
Now, I also tell patients, don't set an initial goal of weight loss, because it takes a while. And if the goal is just weight loss, they may give up. So what other goals besides weight loss do you give people to look for?
I agree that weight loss for many people out there is the reason that they will start exercising. And if it's just a big goal that they're looking to accomplish, it may take a long time. If someone has 100 pounds to lose, then it may take them 2 years to lose that 100 pounds. So if there aren't short-term goals along the way, it is easy to give up. So setting some different goals, what usually I do with my clients is saying, okay, we're going to set up three goals that we're going to accomplish in the next 30 days. And then we'll have some midterm goals that we're looking to accomplish in 3 to 6 months. Then we have the long-term goals. What are we looking to accomplish 12 months or more down the road? And then once we establish those, and at the end of the month, we can go ahead and say, okay, we can check this off. And meeting and reassessing your goals at least once a month and reevaluating your progress, that really helps. So you can see the small steps necessary to make that long-term success.
Yeah, I tell patients the healthiest people I have in my practice are those that come from our central part of our state, who are ranchers and farmers. And the reason is because they're moving all the time. They don't sit. Of course, here we sit a lot. When we go to our job and sit down, we don't think that we need to be exercising, but we do. So exercise should be as important as sleeping and eating. It should just be part of life. When you look at designing exercise programs, do you divide it up into cardiovascular and strength?
Yes. So when someone's first starting to exercise, I like to have a combination of strength and cardiovascular workouts. So with the strength movements, making sure that people are able to squat, do some type of hip hinge movement, and some lunging for lower body, having a push-pull for upper body, whether it's a chest press or a push-up, and then some type of row or a pull-up. So we're working all of the major muscle groups and how people are meant to move every day, an overhead press. For cardiovascular exercise, it really is going to depend on someone's goal. If someone's just starting off to exercise, we like to make them feel as comfortable as possible. So that might be some people are comfortable on a recumbent cycle, some people are comfortable walking, some people are comfortable on elliptical or various different machines or activities. Some people like to do more of their exercise outdoors in the fresh air. And so once we find out how they like to exercise, then we'll start off slow. So generally we'll do some type of easy warm-up with their cardiovascular exercise for a 5 to 10 minute period of time. We like to start to move them through their different heart rate zones. So moving them into more of a moderate area from 60 to 69%, and then up to 70 to 79%. And then maybe some intervals for when it's appropriate for that individual, where we're taking them up to in that 80 plus percentage of their max heart rate, because it is important to have some of the interval training for heart health and physiological benefits of improving your health and fitness, but only when the individual is ready for that. So we have a medical program here, and not all individuals obviously would be ready for that type of exercise initially. So when they are ready, though, we like to see them get into those higher intensity zones.
If we think back 60s and 70s, Dr. Denomenico's era and mine, we had really cardiovascular health as the forefront of exercise. The goal was to get your heart rate up, running. But a gerontologist at Stanford looked at a frailty scale. He wondered why some of his seniors did well and some didn't. And he gave points for various things. And one of the things that got you the most points to delay or make the slope into frailty very soft was maintaining musculoskeletal fitness. So it turned out, in addition to the cardiovascular exercise, he felt that people really needed to maintain muscle mass, muscle density, for range of motion. And I tell people who are young, you're banking for the future.
Well, you know what? You see, when you turn about 40 years old, you turn on your aging gene. A number of things happen when the aging gene goes on. First of all, you have sarcopenia, which is loss of muscle. You lose 7 to 10 pounds per 10 years, and you will turn that into fat. And guess where you carry it? You carry it in your abdomen, in your visceral fat. This visceral fat, if it keeps piling up there, can cause you to have hypertension, high cholesterol, diabetes, and all these diseases, because you've now turned on your aging gene. You need to exercise to maintain that muscle mass. You don't want to lose that muscle mass, okay? And if you lose the muscle mass, also another thing that happens is called geriatric syndrome, where they become frail. They can't hardly sit down in a chair and have trouble getting back up. They don't sleep well. All these things are happening to them, and you need to stop that with exercise and the right diet.
Promotion of body health in a holistic sense, and you continue it through life. So even seniors who are 70, 80 go, well, can I exercise? I haven't yet. You have those patients or clients here. You start with a prescription of exercise that may be different than a 40-year-old, but you still encourage both cardiovascular and musculoskeletal fitness. There is a program.
Absolutely, and it's more important for our seniors, because if they're not able to feel comfortable walking and be strong enough sitting and getting up, then they're risking themselves for falling. So even when we have our clients and patients here who are in their 70s and 80s, it's even more important for them to be strength training and doing their cardiovascular fitness and being comfortable moving, because they're at a higher risk if they're being sedentary than one fall, and it could mean the end for them.
Falls are very dangerous for an aging population, so maintaining balance and strength is utmost importance.
Maintaining your balance and your strength also helps you maintain the calcium in your bones so you don't become osteoporotic. Otherwise, when you fall, now you break bones.
Yeah.
And so you need strength training to do that more than aerobic training to keep the calcium levels in your bones up.
When you look at a population and you want to have them enter into exercise, not everyone can join a facility or a gym, and some people don't do well at home. So how would you advise somebody what to do? Should they try a facility? Should they try a gym first? Should they try at home first?
Whether they're trying a gym or they're trying to start exercising at home, it really is going to depend on the individual. A gym is great because most facilities, you'll be able to schedule an appointment with a membership advisor. They're going to be able to take you through the facility. Most health clubs and gyms will offer a one-week pass, so you'll get the opportunity to find out if it's right for you. Do they keep the gym clean? Do they have professionals that can help you with your exercise? Do they offer classes that are for both beginners and intermediate and advanced? Those are things that a prospective member of a gym will be able to try initially. If someone can commit, which we find most people find it difficult to start an exercise routine and stay with it if they don't have a coach or a partner or someone that's helping them be accountable, because it just can add one more stress in their life. Oh, I have to exercise today. To start moving and exercise, you don't need any thing other than your body and movement to initially get started. It can be as easy as starting with some regular walking, doing some squatting, doing some push-ups, some lunges, some hip hinging, getting that movement. And people can go out and buy, whether it's a dumbbells or bands or those type of things, but they're useless if you're not going to be using them on a regular basis and sticking to your plan. And that's where a health club and a gym can be beneficial, because you have other people there supporting you. You get that community aspect of meeting people in a group fitness classes or having a coach, someone there who's in your corner, rooting for you, cheering for you, making sure that you're seeing the results as you go. If you're working out at home, the same success strategy will apply, that, okay, I need to see what is my starting point initially. So here is how much I weigh, and I'm taking a trip to see my physician so I can get my blood pressure done and my blood work done, and seeing that I am able to exercise. I don't have any restrictions from my physician to get started. And then starting to say, okay, this is my starting point, and in 4 weeks from now or 6 weeks from now or 8 weeks from now, I'm going to reassess. Those things can be hard when you're doing it just by yourself, and that's why it can be beneficial to have a friend or a partner or a coach or a professional to help you achieve your goals.
I tell patients a little bit like picking up an instrument. You can certainly buy the instrument, get a Learn How book, but you might be more successful if you had an instructor who can look over what you're doing. I had a patient tell me that he had a buddy system. He always showed up at the gym because he knew his friend was going to be there, and vice versa. So it was a great motivator not to skip that workout. And the socialization aspect is very important. When you look at a group of young men who are potential athletes in training, it's a lot of pressure these days for students, young athlete. And we had a separate segment on testosterone, and one of the things we really wanted to get the message across was for young people not to be entering into testosterone as a supplement. But there's a lot of pressure for supplements. So when you see young people who come in who are training as high school athletes, college athletes, how do you direct them to be natural in their approach?
Well, the majority of the supplements that are at the market, so if they walk into a health food store, they don't need any of that. It's just marketing. You know, there are certainly supplements that we know can be beneficial. But if someone at a young age especially has a well-rounded nutrition plan and they're exercising, they don't need to be putting anything else in their body. And the majority of these things aren't regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, so they can be doing more harm than good. So all of the young athletes that I work with, that's what I try and preach to them, is that they're making promises of that their product can deliver these things, but you don't need their product, and it can potentially be dangerous for you.
Say I'm young and I'm interested in really building muscle mass because the coach says in order to go from junior varsity to varsity, I got to put on more muscle. So I look at those protein supplements. Are there any that are legitimate that you recommend? Or you don't have to name products, but or do you just say, no, just be dedicated to your workout?
Yeah, so with the young athletes who I work with, there's a deal that we make early is that if you're going to work with me for your strength training and your conditioning, you're going to work with a registered dietitian for your nutrition. And that combination is what sets them up for success. And generally, the registered dietitian is going to say, okay, here is the activity that you're doing. This is how much you're eating now. To get where we want to get with regards to increasing your strength and increasing your size, we're going to need to increase your caloric expenditure of the right foods. That, along with the proper strength and conditioning program, is all the young athlete needs.
So here at the Pro Club, you actually have an extensive program. You have medical personnel, you have counseling and education. Just go into a little bit. This isn't something that everybody may be able to do, but I think what you have achieved here is great. So just give a little background into what you do here.
Well, we have we have 12 dietitians here full-time. We have 115 personal trainers. They're all busy because they're good and they get people motivated and keep them motivated. We have 10 psychologists working with people who have habits that they need to stop having, like binge eating or eating things that every night that they get after dinner, then at 9 o'clock they're in the refrigerator eating ice cream and this and that. So we have a whole team here that works together. We also do the genetics on the people, and we can tell what exercises they should do and what exercises they shouldn't do. We can tell, for the nutrition side, we can tell whether they are sensitive to sugar or maybe they don't burn fat well. We have over probably 250 people that work in the health and the fitness department one way or another, helping these athletes get to where they want to get to. The whole thing is creating a habit. If you can't create a habit, you're dead. There are a number of things that will break that habit. So let's say we got some guy in a habit for 1 year. Now he's probably pretty well going to do that. If he's coming 3 days a week, he's going to come every 3 days a week. And then he gets injured. And that is one of the worst problems we have where people are injured. They stop exercising and they start gaining weight. With women, it is getting pregnant. They stop exercising, they start gaining weight. And last year, there were 4 million women in this country were pregnant. And 25% of them, after their pregnancy, carried 20 or 30 pounds on their body they had not had before. And these are areas you've got to really be careful of. You got to have a plan that if I get injured, I'm still going to go down to the gym and I'm going to try to do little things I can do. At least I'm going to be there, keep my habit going. I'll watch what I'm eating and so forth. So we have a lot of professionals here. We also have a big anti-aging department where we measure everybody's hormones. We're really not looking at anybody unless they're ready to turn on the aging gene, about 40. And then we can see what their hormones are doing and see what they need supplement-wise or otherwise. And this seems to work pretty well for those people. Most of them are athletes already. I mean, they're already coming regularly, and they just want to help their health some more. We can slow the aging gene down. In the future, you're going to see people live to be centurions. They have 6 drugs that are now working on that will slow the aging process way down. They will have a healthy life up to the last 12 months of their life as centurions. They won't be going at 80 years old with hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes, because they'll be able to stay healthy if, as long as they exercise, eat the right diet, and we slow down the aging process.
As I've reviewed in other podcasts, we're a culture that would rather take a pill for high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, help me sleep, for my reflux, for my diabetes, and yet your program, just through diet and exercise, obviates the need for many of those medications.
Well, for instance, in our program here where we're getting people to lose weight, 79% of people with hypertension get off all their medications and have normal blood pressure. 73% of type 2 diabetics get off all their medications and have normal blood sugars. 61% of people with hyperlipidemia or high cholesterols get off their drugs. But there is a thing called familial hyperlipidemia, which there's nothing you can do but be on the drugs for. We have real good results getting people off their drugs. They're much happier, and now they stick to that habit more because they realize that they've changed their whole life.
When you look at a fitness for life, so to speak, if you had somebody who had exercised, stopped, and you found out that it was for various reasons, and you wanted to bring them back in the fold, do you start with them at the same level as you would a novice?
I do, just because even though they've been fit in the past, if they've taken a long time away, then starting over. So generally we'll come in, again, find out why they're coming back to exercise. Once I know the why, we start setting up their short-term goals, and then from there developing a plan and then assessing where they're currently at. So taking a look at how they move once they've gone through a movement screen and our initial exercise testing, then I'll have an idea of what's going to be appropriate. So if they're a great mover and they've tested well, then I know that I can start them off on a higher level than someone that's been completely sedentary coming in to our program.
People who haven't exercised and are maybe 50s, 60s and want to get back into it need to see a primary care doctor for clearance?
Well, if they're going to any other gym, they certainly do. Most of our exercise physiologists here are trained to do the blood pressures and get certain things and to ask the questions about cholesterol and diabetes and so forth. If you're going to other gyms, you better go talk to your doc first, because there's nobody down there going to look out for you and your blood pressure. So if you had high blood pressure, our personal trainer, our exercise physiologist, would be sitting you down when you first came in the building, doing your blood pressure. And after the workout, he'd be sitting you back down for a few minutes and take your blood pressure again. We can usually break blood pressure in people in 3 to 4 weeks, sometimes as short as a week. It's amazing. They diurese, and the blood pressure goes down. And diurese means they get rid of the extra water they got in their system. We have excellent results with that. The whole thing is, you don't want people to be on drugs. If they have three different things going on in their body, hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes, some of the drugs crisscross on each other and don't make them, so now they're not as effective for the diabetes as they should have been because they're taking something for the hypertension that's blocking the diabetes thing. So you just want to get them cleaned up and get them back to where they were. They'll be happy, and they'll be really happy.
People, that is a great point. People, once they begin exercising, feel better. They really do see that they have a better body image, they have a better outlook on life, they have more energy. When do you start seeing that?
Well, we'll see the positive effects within kind of the first week to 2 weeks when people are getting in. They're starting to see just getting a little bit of progress toward those short-term goals. And then once we build that momentum, then it's easier to make it a habit because they see some of the results, and then it's easier to continue with the exercise and the healthy lifestyle habits. Just going back for a second to the previous question, the first time someone comes in to meet with one of our personal trainers here on their complimentary appointment, they filled out a lifestyle profile. So if anything comes up on that lifestyle profile that requires a physician's clearance, of course we send them to get clearance from the physician.
One of the big issues for young people is smoking cessation, and now they're vaping. You make certain that you help counsel them against.
Well, listen, you can't tackle everything at one time. So if they're vaping, leave them alone until they get the habit of exercising. They'll want to quit on their own. The more healthy they get, the more they'll want to quit. If you press them to quit that, quit this, quit that all at one time, they can't do it. You're just asking way too much of them. So you got to kind of ease them into this. How about age? We have a lot of orthopedic surgeons that send us patients who are going to have a knee replacement, hip replacement, but they're too heavy. We just had a 76-year-old woman come in here, lost 60 pounds, got her knees replaced. She's happy. She walked in here with a walker. She no longer needs a walker. She's on her own now. So people can start at any age and get this done.
Before we started the podcast, we were speaking a little bit about some of the future of exercise with genetics. Do you want to just delve into that for a moment? It's really exciting.
It is exciting. So one of the things that we're able to do here when someone has a fitness genetic profile done is when we get the results back, with regards to the fitness genetics that we do here at Pro Club, we're able to see where people are gifted, where that they need to focus to adapt because it's an area that they were not genetically gifted with, or where they fall in the normal range. So as an exercise physiologist, it gives me the opportunity to sit down, take a look at their genetics and say, okay, well, VO2 max is an area that came up, or we want to adapt your abilities because we were not genetically gifted or normal in this area. So we can look to how can we use interval training to improve, and they're not necessarily going to become gifted in that area because your genetics are what they are, but we can improve you in those areas. So whatever portion. So it might be someone that comes up as having a problem with joint health. Then we would say, well, Pilates could be a wonderful mode for you for doing our flexibility strength training with Pilates versus using the traditional methods of we're going to put you under some load in these different movement patterns.
It just is astounding that you can do that, and you'll continue to find genetic variants that lead you to really give a specific route for better outcomes in exercise. Again, as one size doesn't necessarily fit all for that, just like diet. If you had to give our listeners one piece of advice, what is it?
Get started. If you can just start a program and then stick to it, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a coach. Exercise will change your life for the better. Not only will you feel better and look better and have better mindset, but you'll live a better life. And that's really what we try and focus on here, and what I try and focus on with my patients as clients is the impact that they can make once they start health and fitness and how it changes every aspect of their wellness. So just get started would be my advice to everyone.
Well, Josh, thank you. Truly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dr. Pellman, for having me.
Thank you, Dr. DiNomenico. Any last words that you would pass on to the population?
They're so involved in so many things today that habits are hard. And as long as we start with that attitude, this is going to be a hard habit to get you to learn. And once they get going, and especially if they like exercise or if they like the people they're exercising with. I have people in 2020 Lifestyles that hate exercise. I know that the day they quit, they're going to stop exercising. They hate to sweat, right?
Yes.
Josh and I have seen these, not very often, but you see them. And you could talk to your blue in the face, you're never going to get them to continue to exercise. You try to get them to do something that will help them, even if it means using a desk they can stand at work. We actually have some Microsoft people have a treadmill in their office, and they stand on the, and they walk on the treadmill while they're doing their work. I don't recommend that. People, that when they do get into it, then they're all the way over. I mean, people who are athletes their whole life, and it needs to start in high schools. And there's a real problem today, is our young people are not as healthy as they were a decade or two decades ago. The Army says, we've been working with the Army and different units of the military, they say that when they do a person comes in for basic training, used to be 12 weeks and you're on your way to wherever you were going to go to war at. They said they have to go 10 weeks, give them 4 weeks off and come back with eight because they're so out of shape they can't get them going. So we really need to find a way to make people get involved with taking care of their body.
Well, thank you for your time. It was a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Dr. Pellman.
This completes another podcast chapter of the Washington State Urology Society's original Guide to Men's Health. This is Dr. Richard Pellman reminding you to take care of yourself. The Washington State Urology Society wishes to thank all contributors who volunteered their time and knowledge. The information presented is the opinion of the speakers. The Society also wishes to thank Sean Fox for his invaluable technical assistance. Music theme, San Juan Bells, written and performed by Dr. Dave Weidig. The podcasts are the property of the Washington State Urology Society. Reproduction and use without the express consent of the Society is strictly prohibited. For more information about men's health, visit wsus.org or visit your physician or care provider.